form as we worship our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. My name is Chris Townsend. I'm the intentional interim here at Harbor of Joy. I have a few announcements, but I thought some of you might notice that it's not very light up here. So this light was hanging in there, and because of the challenge of that, we don't have the light. And then I thought, gosh, this is a really big helmet. No. But this is what comes from that light up there. If you're curious, why is it sitting there? We've yet to get the light to replace it. It'll be there next Sunday, I pray. And the praise team probably will appreciate that as well. But that's part of the maintenance of a church. Things go out and go wrong, and you end up fixing things and doing maintenance, repairing things, but that's just part of our life here at Harbor of Joy. Part of the life here as well is this coming Wednesday, Patty's going to be sharing about Tanzania at our fellowship evening. We have a potluck event scheduled in the fellowship hall on Wednesday at 5:30. Look forward to many of you being there. Invite friends and family to join us together as Patty shares about the mission work in Tanzania. And we get to eat a plethora of food that you may join in bringing, from the main courses to desserts to whatever, I'm focusing on, Sarah's gone, so I don't get desserts. The fortunate thing is that we get to get together and be blessed together. August 30th, we're having a new member orientation in the fireside room. If you're desiring to join this church, please attend that time together. That'll happen after the worship service as well. And I just want to thank you for being here. Thank Vicki for stepping up. She's back there running PowerPoint. An announcement I have to share with you. Our church secretary, Lynn Ann, who many of you know, works about 10 hours a week as a church secretary and is often back there on Sunday morning. She announced at the end of our council meeting that she was taking a leave of absence. So we have people stepping up, like Vicki. If you desire to be a clicker, that's what I call it. You push a button, you click. Please let me know, and we'll plug you into that ministry, and you'll be a blessing into the church, because then we'll have the slides moving forward and everything, and that helps in our worship. We're going to worship at this time with our call to worship. I ask you to please stand as we continue in our time together. This is based on 1 John chapter 4. We know and rely on the love of God has for us. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. So that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. And while we continue in worship, as the praise team comes forward to lead us in song.
Rest my shame, rest in your hand, bless your name. You are my only.
Seated as we hear from God's written word.
Our first reading is from the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. Now hear God's word. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. This ends our first reading. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the people of Rome, chapter 13. Verses 8 through 10, hear God's word. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This ends our second reading, and now our gospel reading is from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Hear the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This ends our readings. I invite Pastor Chris to come forward and share this morning's message.
Thank you, Becky. I don't know if you're aware of this, but oftentimes in the life of a church, sometimes the pastor has other duties besides preaching on Sunday morning. Most pastors would go, wow, if I only had to do that, that would be phenomenal. But the life of a church is partly, obviously, on Sunday morning, partly, obviously, preparing a message and delivering it. But the life of the church is bigger than that. And many things go on in the life of a church, Harbor of Joy in this case. And we relish in opportunities to be in prayer for one another, to love one another, even through the good times and the bad times. Churches are like people groups in a sense. We have highlights, we have lowlights, but a lot of times we just get together in love and are grateful for that. Many things happen at the church during the week that you may or may not be aware of. One of the blessings that I see at the church is a group that gathers on Tuesday morning in prayer. They end up isolating themselves in the library here on the campus and spend time in prayer. I've been prayed over by them, and I'm so thankful for that. They've prayed throughout the campus as well, but I know they're in there being prayer warriors, and that helps the church. Because prayer leads to love. It's hard to pray for someone if you don't love them. And God, as the scripture tells us, calls us to love one another. And that's part of the message today. Prayer, love, the connection is true. That if we are in prayer for one another, we're connected to one another. If we love one another, we're connected to one another. So I have some questions for you. Do you pray for your family members? We're called to love our family, right? But I bet you, like I, have family members that cause you to scratch your head sometimes and go, man, that's a tough one to love them. They're just tough. But we're still called to pray for them. And in turn, we love them. How about beyond your family members, beyond the blood? Do you pray for people here at Harbor of Joy? Do you pray for people in your work community, in your larger community? Do you love them as God calls us to love one another? And it's not always easy. If life was easy, it would be a nice level thing, and oh, that would be joyful. But each of us in our own lives have challenges. And sometimes those challenges arrive as we're praying for one another. Because when we pray for one another, things come up. God works in and through us when we're giving ourselves to him in prayer, and things happen. And I'm not talking about the prayers that I said when I was growing up. I grew up in the Roman Catholic tradition, a simple tradition that taught you how to pray. Very specifically, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's one of the prayers that the church worldwide uses because Jesus taught us to pray. But then I was also taught, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. The Mary prayer, as I called it. There's only a few standard prayers in the Roman Catholic tradition. And I was taught to repeat them and repeat them and repeat them. But then when I came into the Lutheran faith tradition, when I was in my 20s, oh, by the way, this beautiful woman introduced me to the Lutheran Church. Man, is she good. She's in Arizona right now. She's hot. Well, you take that how you want. She introduced me to the blessings of the Lutheran traditions, where prayer can be a movement to the heart, where God is working in and through you, and prayer just happens to come out. It's not a rote prayer. It's a prayer of the heart. And somebody comes up in your prayer life, and you just start praying for them. And oftentimes, I close my eyes in prayer and concentrate on my relationship with that person. Their needs, God's needs upon them, and how God needs them. And I pray about that. I'm wondering how your prayer life is. Is your prayer life connected to the love God has for you and God has for one another, that he calls us into love one another? Prayer sometimes is hard. If it was easy, everybody would do it 24/7. Actually, the Apostle Paul wants us to be in prayer all the time. But we aren't always people that are ardent in our prayer life. I want to encourage you to be a strong prayer. And maybe it's just at meals. Sarah and I love to demonstrate this when we're out to eat to people. Not to draw attention to ourselves, but we always take a moment before we eat our meal and we spend time in prayer at home and in the restaurants. It might be a simple prayer, praying for the staff, praying for the food, praying God's blessings upon us. But it demonstrates something to other people. And maybe you've had that happen as well, that you've been praying in public and somebody comes up to you and thanks you for praying, or asks you, what did you pray for? What did you pray about? Sometimes we pray for that staff person who's serving us, who you can tell is just going through a hard time, and they just need prayer. They don't mind a big tip. They don't, you know, that's natural. But sometimes they just need prayer. And there's people in your life that you know, and only you know, need prayer. So be sure to pray for them. Lift them up, no matter if it's blood or just church members or larger family, friends, whatever circle you're in. Be in prayer for people. God's given us this tool of prayer to use. If we leave tools in a toolbox, they just get rusty. But if we take them out and use them often, they're a blessing, not just for us, but for those people around us. So again, prayer, love, the connection is so very true. We pray for those we love more often than others. At least I do. I want to offer a personal example to you of a person that I pray for in my life, and I've been praying for him for years. It's my nephew. My nephew is an outstanding, I can't say young man anymore, although he's younger than I am, obviously. But I prayed for him as he went to the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, as he graduated from the Air Force Academy in 2002. Been in prayer for him. He was willing to step up and step in where others, including myself, did not. So I'm thankful for that. A few years ago, I took a drive to go to his promotion ceremony. He was being promoted to full bird colonel, a unique thing in our military world. So I took a drive. I was in Iowa at the time, so I took a drive to Jefferson Barracks. It's in St. Louis. And on my way there, I ran into fog. Thick, mucky, soupy fog. And I tried to get through it, but it never broke. So I ended up pulling off the road, and I ended up in Wayland, Missouri, if you know where that is. It's There's a Denny's there. That's how I ended up. I saw the Denny's light and I went in. But my time there, I parked in the parking lot and I spent time in prayer, giving God thanks that I got that far. I called up Sarah, who was with our aunt in Arizona, told her what was going on, asked her to be in prayer for me. I went inside and I sat down and got a meal. A truck driver was sitting in the next booth and I asked him how his driving is going. He goes, "Nowhere, it's too foggy out." I'm thinking, I gotta get back on the road. About an hour later, women, you know guys, they aren't very smart. I got back on the road. And I had this guiding light. Actually, it wasn't a light. It was a dashed white line down the middle of the road that I was able to follow all the way until the fog broke. But as I pulled into St. Louis, I just gave thanks to God for provision of safety. I don't know if you do that when you're driving, when things are difficult, that you just give thanks to God that He was looking over you. He was watching over you. He was guiding you along a unique path of a white dashed line. And I gave Him thanks. I gave Him thanks because I was able to go and see my nephew and his family, to go to this promotion ceremony. It was very important for us, well, for me in particular. Because over the years, Sarah and I have been able to go to all his ceremonies. Graduation, as I indicated, from the Air Force Academy. And then he went to flight school in Enid, Oklahoma. Oh, what a beautiful town. We went to that flight school graduation. Then we went to Panama City Beach, where his first station of flying F-15s were. And we've been thankful ever since to be in prayer for him and his family. Joshua, or Razor, that's his call sign, has traveled the world in defense of our country. He's been stationed in England. He's went into combat zones, been stationed here in America as well. But I've kept him in prayer no matter where he was. Oftentimes I didn't know where he was because of communication and the appropriateness of that. But when I went to the ceremony in St. Louis to see Lieutenant Colonel Joshua Razor Fogel be promoted to full bird colonel, it was emotional for me. I wasn't his mom and dad, they were there. But as his uncle, it was just powerful. Powerful to be in a room of men and women who were willing to sacrifice their life for my freedom, for our freedom. To be in a room where people just were thankful to be alive and to be serving. I told Josh how proud I was of him as a high-ranking military officer. I found out at that ceremony that only 1.8% of officers ever reached the rank of colonel. Wow, that's pretty special. But I also told Josh how proud I was of him as a Christian man, as a husband, as a father of two wonderful girls. Actually, one of those girls, one of those young ladies, is in Arizona right now, where Sarah is. She's entering Arizona State University as a freshman at the Barrett Honors College. I'm bragging because you got to be smart to get into that college. But I'm thankful to continue in prayer for this next generation as she goes to ASU, where I went to college as well. I'm thankful that Sarah's there with the family to support her. But going back to Jefferson Barracks in St. Louis, by taking time to go there to support my nephew and his family, show them love. Sometimes we have to sacrifice to show others love. Of course, being in prayer is a powerful thing. Some people think being in prayer is a sacrifice because you're taking time away from something, from reading a book, from entertainment, or whatever. But to show someone that you love them, to demonstrate Christian love, is important. And I think that distinguishes us as individuals in humanity. If we express our Christian love to one another, it distinguishes us. Josh and Carrie and the girls are part of the Missouri Synod Lutheran tradition. Praise the Lord. They're faithful in their worship, faithful in their connection with God. Very grateful for that. But we as believers, we as Christians, are distinguished from the rest of the world because God loves us and we love God, and we're called by His word, as Becky shared, to love one another. Believers, I pray, like you and I, are called to demonstrate His love each and every day. Jesus said in John 13, "By this love, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Again, there are people that are challenging to love, and yet God still calls us to love them. How are you doing in that area? Is there someone or some people in your life that is just a challenge to love them? But as Christians, that's your calling. That's my calling, to love others. Even though they may not feel it, we're still called to share God's love with them. Jesus didn't say that people will know you by your ability to promote me, to wear a Christian t-shirt, to have a fish decal on the back of your automobile. He didn't talk in that fashion, but rather he simply said they'll know whose you are, a follower of Jesus, by your love, loving God and loving one another. I believe there's a watching world out there, a world that is watching about how our values are being promoted. And our values are made incarnate in how we show love to one another. I have this quote that I want to share. "A watching world will be persuaded not when our values are promoted, but when they are incarnate." So when we bring forth our Christian values into the world, the incarnation of God's love, people will notice that. And there's this vivacious virtue of love that is in Scripture that we're called to share. And it distinguishes Christians from anybody else, because we're loving because God first loved us. And now we're returning and sharing that love with others. And that's from the very beginning. God's plan was to develop a people who were connected to Him, who reflected His characteristics. And two of the main characteristics of God: love and prayer. God takes time in prayer. Jesus demonstrated that to us when He walked this earth. And we're called to also take time to love and take time to be in prayer. From our first reading, Becky shared earlier, God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. And this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. For we are as He is in this world. We are children of a heavenly Father. A Father that loves us so much that He sent His one and only begotten Son into the world. As followers of Jesus, we're God's advertisement to the world. Maybe after this morning, you're going to go to a restaurant and you get to demonstrate God's love to other people by the way you act, by the way people perceive your actions. No, it's not just in the big tip, although they might appreciate it, as I've said earlier, but it's how we carry ourselves as Christians, how we relate to others as Christians, show the love of Jesus. Here's a quick connected story. A missionary from South Africa returned home here to the United States on his break. As many of you know, missionaries pour themselves out 24/7, and then they get to come back home, in this case to America, to get recharged, to get back into the game in a sense and get better. Well, he was going around to the churches that supported him, and he was relaying his overseas activity, and he relayed an interesting phenomena. Repeatedly, he had noticed how groups of South Africans would walk past the public hospital to go a few more miles to the Christian missionary clinic. And he watched that day after day, week after week, And he finally had to ask a patient about that. And that the reply from the patient was, the medicines may be the same, but the hands are different. That's the virtue of prayer and love being incarnate. The medicine's the same, but the care is different because it's Christian care. It's the love of God coming through people. Praying hands are hands that bless. Loving hands are hands that bless. And the kind of prayer that we can offer isn't what the rest of the world offers. Oftentimes, the rest of the world is, oh, God, give me a nice new Cadillac. God really doesn't care what kind of car you drive. God, guide me to do your will. That's a super prayer. And then to follow his will. We have to remember that Jesus Christ has no hands except for our hands. Jesus Christ has no feet except for our feet. And our mission is to follow his word, his hands, his feet, and do his will. We're ambassadors representing him to the world. I don't know if you've thought about that recently, that you are a reflection of Jesus in the world. I know that weighs heavy on me when I break down and I think about that, when I know I've done something that was not godlike, and I realize that somebody might have seen this ungodly act from me, and I break down and I confess that, and I ask God to guide me in a better, purer way so that his love can be reflected through me to all the people I meet. Our second reading from Romans, God directs us to love one another. What a blessing that is. Sometimes that's difficult, as I said, because the actions of the one you're trying to love don't always allow it to be easy to love them. Sometimes it's hard. But people will notice if you follow God's word and his love guidance. We're called to demonstrate the virtues of prayer and love each and every day. But how we demonstrate it, how distinctive is our prayer and our love for others is important. According to theologian William Barclay, he wrote, love is the spirit in the heart that will never seek anything but the highest good of its fellow man. There's some depth to William Barclay. I have some of his books in the church library if you'd like to read them. Prayer is the power of God coming into action. Think of your prayers in that fashion. The power of God coming into action. We know that God loves us, not because we have something that he can get from us. That's not it. But rather, he has something to offer us each and every day. Remember earlier, John 3:16, for God loved the world in this way that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. God loved us so we could demonstrate his mercy and his love to everyone that we come in contact with. That's not easy. God never said being a Christian would be easy. He never said, it would be a rose garden. Who's that artist? Anybody? God never promised a rose garden? Who? Lynn Anderson? Okay. That wasn't who I was thinking, so thank you. I was thinking like Helen Reddy or somebody like that. But let me share something about love that regards to weddings. Weddings are a great thing to go to. Many of you have went to literally dozens of weddings. A pastor at First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, officiated at lots of weddings. People love to have that pastor come to their wedding. And as he would stand next to the nervous groom, often he'd get this question, Pastor, how much do I owe you for this? And that wise pastor would always smile, and he'd look at the groom and say, aw, just pay me what she's worth. I'm only assuming he's a rich man, right? But I wonder if each man realized how significant his bride was. The bride of Christ is significant too, and we're part of that blessing, and we can be thankful for that. Everyone around us has incredible value to God. We just need to have our eyes open to see that. Again, Jesus came as the one and only begotten Son into this world for us, for you, and for me. He did things so we wouldn't have to go through them. He went to the cross so we wouldn't be crucified like him. And he did that because people matter to God. We know we matter to God because he created us in his image. If we've been created in the image of the Father, of course we're important. And of course we should demonstrate the love that he has for us to other people. Jesus loved us so much, just think of this, that he left the glory of heaven to come into this world. That's how much he loved us. Left the glory of heaven to come into this world where people berated him, where people spit upon him, where people crucified him, and yet he still loved them. What a powerful statement for us to make as well, that we follow a God who is willing to give up his life in Jesus Christ here on this earth in order that we may live. You may have been hurt by somebody that I'm asking you to pray for. It's understandable. We've all felt pain from other people. And yet God still calls us to pray for that person. Even though our heart has been broken, we can connect with Jesus because his heart was broken as well when he was suffering on the cross. Another quote, the writer and theologian C.S. Lewis, some of you are familiar with him. He wrote about the four loves, the Greek loves. I'm not going to go into all of that, but he described vulnerable nature of love in this fashion, and I quote, "To love is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up in a safe, in a casket or a coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. Instead, it will become unbreakable, unpenetrable, irredeemable." Love has to be out there in action each and every day. Love entails a cost. Love entails us getting our hands dirty. It takes chances. It goes out on a limb. It takes gambles. Love makes a statement and leaves a legacy. Imagine men in particular. I remember this clearly. Men, the first time you said "I love you" to a woman, to your wife, was it an instant "I love you" back, or was there silence? I remember silence. But then I remember Sarah telling me it lasted maybe 2 seconds. But in that 2 seconds felt like eternity. We love first because Jesus loved us. We love others because we want to be connected to them. And sometimes it takes going out on a limb and express your love to one another, not just in your family, not just in your church family, but in the larger community as well. And love makes a statement. It makes a clear legacy statement. We're going to enter into a sermon series soon talking about legacy. And love is part of our legacy. Think of your children. Think of your grandchildren. Think of others that you've loved throughout the years and the legacy that they offer the next generation, in part because you've loved into them and on them. Know that you are God's treasure and you're connected to him in love. We're connected in love and prayer. And my prayer is, as I wrap this up, that you know God loves you greatly, that you know that he sacrificed his son for you, that you know his son rose from the grave for you, and that he's seated at the right hand of his Father for you, watching over you and guiding you. And the Holy Spirit remains with us because of the power of love in our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would you bow your head in prayer? Lord, you are love. Your love is holy. Your love is just, kind, patient, merciful, wonderful, beautiful. Please move our hearts to love you more and more each day. Your love is immeasurable, unfathomable, unstoppable, and eternal. We simply love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Move us to love and to pray for our family and our friends and our Harbor of Joy family. Thank you, Lord, for first loving us as we love one another. And now we join together in professing our foundational faith through the Nicene Creed as it comes up on the screen. Please join with me. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, his only Son and our eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Spirit. He came incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. And holy ass in the apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and life in the world to come. Amen. 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 I invite the praise team to come forward as they lead us in song.
Lord, the doors of heaven's light on earth.
is to be able to sing praises to God together and also to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. Would you bow your heads in a time of prayer? Lord, we give thanks this morning for the financial offering given. Many people place their tithes and offerings in the box in the back or do it through electronic giving. God, we just give you thanks. And we ask you to receive the financial offering given this morning. An offering that can change lives because of your love for us. We thank you that your word instructs us to give of our first fruits. We ask that you bless our returning to these financial offerings. Use this week's offering in powerful ways so that as we follow your word here at Harbor of Joy, other people are blessed in this, your kingdom. We also pray for the needs of your people, Lord. Father God, we continue to pray for elected leaders here at your church, for the council and the call committee, that they lead in a desire that is not of this world, but of your word. May they be prayerful and mindful of the needs of all of Harbor of Joy in the present and the future. May their decisions remain based on your truth in order that your blessings flow from this, your church. And Holy Spirit, we recognize that the Okoboji Bible Conference is all wrapped up and people are back to their normal lives, but we continue to be inspired by what we heard, what we experienced there. We thank you for that conference, especially the staff that puts it together. And Jesus, we pray for those who are ill, like Mr. Maya in Tanzania, whose surgery was successful. Praise God. And we now pray for his complete recovery. Jesus, be with those in our community who are struggling in their health, especially those diagnosed with cancer. May the medical teams do outstanding work in each case. Be with those challenged by poor mental health as they seek assistance. Be with those that are homebound. Be with those that are struggling. God, we pray for people that are leaving our community. We, in particular, lift up Cheryl as she moves away. May you bless her and keep her in powerful ways. We continue to pray for the Blessing Box Ministry, the team of folks who keep us stocked, and the Harbor of Joy people that are so generous in giving blessings in your name. And God, we ask you to be with those that are serving in government, from those on the front line to those in Washington, D.C., be they paid or not paid, be they be serving locally, regionally, statewide, or countrywide. We ask that you just guide them to make decisions that are on your word, that are the truth, that can lift up life and love in this community and beyond. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you please stand at this time for our sending song, Lord, I Need You.
This song was written in 2011.
Every hour I need you.
Team for leading us this morning. On the screen you see a different liturgy for the sending than you're used to. The worship committee and I connected on this, and this is in part the mission statement of Harbor of Joy that we'll be sharing in. So our sending liturgy. This time of worship has ended.
Let our daily service begin.
Let's be anchored in the Word.
So we can grow through worship and prayer.
As we share the joy, amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.